recommence our last topic for the day, or at least our last technical topic, agenda paper 18, which, by the way, we tabled and didn't get to last meeting, so we really owe it to April to get it done today.
And hope she remembers the paper. Yeah. We received a submission about the timing of the recognition of intercompany charges relating to share-based payments. The submitter is an international group. The transaction is straightforward and common. The parent has an obligation to settle share-based payment awards to the employees of its various subsidiaries. And the subsidiary is required to pay the parent the value of these awards on settlement. Now, the question from the submitter is, when should the subsidiary recognize the recharge? Should the subsidiary recognize the liability to the parent for the recharge in its own financial statements when the award is granted to its employees or when it's exercised? Now, the submitter provides examples of the diversity in the guidance given in the major accounting firms' manuals, and we conducted our own outreach to see if this diversity was reflected in practice. About half of the respondents couldn't comment, and that's either because the transaction is rare in their jurisdiction, or it eliminates consolidation and is invisible, or the subsidiary's financial statements aren't available for review. The remainder of respondents who could comment said that there was very significant divergence. We've identified four different approaches in the paper to accounting for these recharge transactions. Approach one is a linked transaction approach. In that approach, the recharge agreement is linked to the share-based payment arrangement, and the obligation to the parent would be recognized in accordance with IFRS 2, that is, as the employee's services are rendered throughout the vesting period. The other approaches are all based on a reading of the standard that says that the recharge agreement is specifically excluded from IFRS 2. Approach 2 would recognize the obligation to the parent as a liability in accordance with IAS 37, and they think that there would not be a present obligation until all the vesting conditions are fulfilled, and so the recharge might not be recognized until payment of the recharge was made. Approach 3 views the recharge as a distribution to the parent, so the recharge would not be recognized by the subsidiary until exercised. And Approach 4 is based on the submitter's own view that the recharge transaction is an executory contract and wouldn't be recognized until either the parent performs by issuing the shares or the subsidiary performs by paying the recharge. Now, in paragraph 51 to 64, it is the staff analysis of the different factors we think should be considered when assessing the merits of these different approaches. And the outcome of that analysis, that our preliminary view is that the linked transaction approach is the most likely one to result in consensus on a timely basis. In paragraph 64, we assess the submission against gender criteria, and in our view, the topic should be the subject of an interpretation, as there is significant diversity in practice. And in paragraph 65, we recommend that we take this on to the interpretations agenda. So the questions for you in paragraph 65 are, do you agree that the issue should be addressed and added to the interpretations agenda? And then do you have any comments on the relative merits of each approach or additional points to add?
I'm not convinced we should take this on. The issue of recharges within a group is a complex issue about how to account for transaction within a group. It's complex, and it's maybe tying with a general issue of how to account for transaction between entities under common control and so on. And in particular here, I understand that maybe you want to address the timing of recognition of the liability, but what about the measurement? What about how to account for changes in the measurement between the grant date and settlement? And where does the recharge go? P&L, equity, and so on. And I'm afraid it's going to be one of those projects that is going to be endless because we will not be able to agree because we don't know how to account for transactions between entities and the country. And I'm not supportive of the linked approach at the moment. So.
So I can put you down as a qualified yes?
I think you have mistaken what I was saying. Or not listened to.
Charlotte?
I was going to disagree with everything you've said, so I do think we do need to look at it. I think it's a widespread issue. We've definitely seen it within our industry a lot. It occurs the whole time, and everyone is coming up with different answers to satisfy the different requirements of their auditors. And although part of me doesn't want to look at it because we've come to an answer we like and we're happy with, I do think you need to reopen the measurement part, possibly needs to be reopened as well, and all looked at it together. And I generally support the linked view.
Others? Okay. Then we'll go to the phones.
Well, I support the linked view, and if there's significant diversity, then we probably should do an interpretation. We should probably take it on.
Okay, the phones.
Company agreement and there was practice, but a specific agreement related just to stock-based compensation?
That's what this submission is.
Right. I have seen recharge agreements specifically
confirm
for
stock-based
compensation.
Thank you. Your passcode is confirmed. When you hear the tone, you will be the first person to join the meeting. The line will be silent until another person joins.
Okay. So I have seen these recharge agreements related to stock compensation. I think, as April said, they are fairly common when it's cross-border. When the subsidiary in France is compensating its employees with stock of a U.S. or Japanese company, I think the recharge agreement is fairly common. The reason why the common control issue of this bothered me is in the stock comp area, IFRS 2 requires you to book the services already. So the cost of the services is being booked. Then we have this recharge agreement, which we are thinking of linking to the services or the IFRS 2 accounting because it says this is related to stock comp. We could have a similar recharge agreement related to payroll and legal and other services that the parent company provides, which just says it's 1% of revenue or 100,000 euros a quarter. We could say you've got to account for that contract just as you have to account for the recharge agreement, but we don't have on that one the similar starting point where we know that the cost has been recorded. And I think in those other situations, the cost that is recorded is determined by the recharge agreement, whereas in this case, the cost recorded is not determined by the recharge agreement. And that's why I'm concerned about addressing this. I think its tentacles into these other areas are dangerous. If we do address it, I think the answer is pretty clear that you need to accrue for this liability as the services happen. My concern is because of these other arrangements where we may have a recharge agreement, but we don't have any other similar basis that says recognize the services at fair value. Indeed, we probably have no way to calculate the fair value of the legal services and back office services that the parent does.
Bert, and then we have an email from our phone participants, even though they can't get on the phone. Bert?
I'm not sure that it, or I don't understand why it matters if I have a written contract, because control transaction, let's say we cannot reach consensus in a reasonable time frame, and that's also an agenda criteria, that takes us off the slippery slope of the of common control transactions, and we still can issue a rejection note.
Well, actually, Michael, I'm going to ask you to read the email.
Okay. This was actually from Luca, and he was saying he agrees to take the item onto the agenda. We should consider the, in quotes, real contracts between the parent and the subsidiary. He has seen several cases in which the subsidiary pays cash at the grant date without any refund in the case the option would not be vested.
So if I put, we don't take proxies or mail-in votes, but if they were able to get on the phone, that would that would then make the vote 6-6.
That's if Guido voted
that's
the same
if
way.
Guido voted the same way, and I'm putting that interpretation on it. That would make it a tie. I believe that the board's operating procedure is a tie vote is a no. No, the chairman at the IASB always votes. The chairman at this committee never votes. So,
I don't think that we operate on positive vote at all. We operate on not objection.
Apparently, you're not objecting to taking it onto the agenda. When we make decisions, we do not object.
Let me propose this, and then I will put this characterization to a vote. The committee decided not to add this on the agenda because there did not appear, I'm using Burns' language, to be a possibility of consensus in a reasonable time frame.
I think we could get consensus.
Okay, then I'm back to why. You don't want to add it.